So today I'll be reading from Luke 21, verse 13. By the way, it's the Amplified Bible. This will be a time and an opportunity for you to testify about me.
Amen. I find it even more nerve-wracking when you look around the room and I see so many distinguished speakers here. And yet I'm the one that's called to share the message today. And it seems a bit like home because there's lots of familiar faces.
Amen.
There's those that some people I don't meet in person, Elder Forrest. It's like I feel like I know you for the times we spend on prayer breakfast together, but it's the first time I'm seeing you in person. And Paul and Wilma. So it's nice. So that helps me to feel a little bit more comfortable. And so thank you all for this children's story, my wife, and Jada Lee for the scripture. I know the scripture reading was very short, but it fitted in. When I started preparing, I don't prepare and I don't look at what the Sabbath school lesson is, and yet everything seems to have come together.
Amen.
With the message, the children's story, the song that you sang, Martin, there, and about the sharing and the giving. So I don't even know if I need to do anything else but say, God is moving, he's working, he wants us to share what we have, you know, because it's all coming together. But one of the things that, as I was preparing this week, and we looked at the scripture reading, and we was talking about testimonies, and I thought, how can we speak about being a witness and having a testimony, and I don't give somebody the opportunity, if they have a testimony to share it? Because sometimes we come, and I'll tell you the reason why I say I'm giving you a chance. I went to a church to preach one day, and I got there, and it was like the Holy Spirit said, you need to offer somebody a chance to give a testimony. And I did. And I never ended up preaching that day. And they were watching the clock, and they were saying, you know, you need to be finished out of here. We rent this room, and we need to be out. If you don't get out on time, we're not going to invite you back. We only had a testimony service. I never preached. By the way, I never got invited back because we ran till about 1:30 when we should have been out of there at 1 o'clock. But that's why I'm saying, if someone has a testimony and they feel that it's something can encourage somebody, or maybe you got up and you came today just to share your testimony, because that's happened to me in the past, I'm going to give you that opportunity now. If you wish.
I'll be as quick as I can, because I want to hear what you have to say. Some of you may know I had an accident in June. I'm a service engineer. I'm mobile, go from house to house. I actually am self-employed. So as you know, if you don't work, you don't get funds. And the contractor said to me, Colin, how long are you going to be out? I said, I'm not sure. They said it could be any time between 4 weeks to 8 weeks to even 10 weeks. They said, ooh. We got a lot of customers to see. But he said, tell you what we're going to do for you. While you're off, we're going to give you some money each week. I know we don't have to, but we're going to give some money each week to so you can feed your family. I thought, that's decent. And I thought, okay, that's good. But when I went to the hospital, I had to take a blood test. Now, bear in mind, I had an accident. I fell, and I hurt myself. And it required me having a blood test. Because of the blood test, they found out that I need to change my diet because of something that had to be sorted out. If I hadn't fallen, I wouldn't have known. And sometimes we get things happen to us. We get stuck in traffic. We have an accident. We have something happen. And we're upset that it's robbing our time. But God still has his way. But less needless to say, some of the church families really helped us. I'm back to work. I'm not 100% healed, because they said it's going to take about a year, but I'm still doing what I've asked to do to therapy-wise, but I'm back to work. And the nice thing was, my clients said they kept calling them to book them to do appointments. And they said, but you can't have Colin, because they always ask me, you can't have Colin, because he's away ill. They said, we'll wait. I'm back to work, and God is good.
You know, is there anyone else? Because for me, I don't need to be heard. Only God needs to be heard. And God is heard through your testimony. So don't feel that you are taken away from my time that I'm going to share. And as you saw there with Colin and his testimony, out of a situation where he just had an accident, something good came, because they're able to discover something that's going to aid his health. And this is how it works. This is how God moves. And it's the same in why I say, what will you share? What do we share with others? You know, do we share fear or do we share faith? When situations are going on, he's had his accident, you know, he could have been just downhearted. He could have been like, what am I going to do for work? But I'm sure that the reason that the people you contract for could say to you, oh, look, we're going to help you out, is because they know who you are. Because of your witness, they knew that they can say, we are going to help you. And again, that's part of what I'm going to come to, things that are, because of our witness, things happen to us. So is there anybody else that want to share? It's okay, you don't have to. If you want to share later, and I'm partway through, you want to raise your hand, I'm happy to take that testimony. So don't feel that you're interrupting me, because we can't interrupt what God has for us today. Yes.
Just very briefly, it's been an incredible blessing for me to be the pastor of this church over the last 9 or 11 months or whatever. And we've seen God doing things in this church, haven't we? God has been moving in incredible ways. And for those of you who are new here, you know, we'll tell you the stories later on, because it's best for them to come firsthand. But God has been doing miracles in the lives of our members in ways that we often talked about miracles. Okay, no, that's just not a proper miracle. No, but these are serious events where people's lives were in total pain for weeks, months, and God has healed. And part of the reason why I want to share this now is that we believe that the opportunity for God to move in our lives is ongoing. We come to church on a Sabbath morning because we believe God is working and is able to work. And I believe he will work today. And next week, I'd like you to pray that God will work in that service as well. And Deirdre's son, Matthew, is going to be preaching next week. I'd like you to pray ahead of that time. And Andre's son, sorry. Okay, definitely, Andre's son is going to be preaching next week. And we're looking forward to his ministry among us. And I pray that you will pray with us during this week, that God's Spirit will be poured out. If we're going to include everybody's name, then we should also mention that it's Melissa's brother on the back row who's going to be here as well next week. Okay, so we're glad to hear you, to see you here today, all right? Amen. Okay, then. God bless you all.
Just give it another moment in case. You know, I'd like you all to turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Heavenly Father, as we open your word and we discuss what you have for us, I ask that you will speak through me today. Amen. We seem to be living in some very strange times. And I'd like to look at Luke 21, and we start at verse 5. And in my Bible, it's captioned signs of the last days. There are other places in the Bible that will speak to signs of the times. It's found in 2 Timothy 3 as well. But in Luke 21, and I'm going to read from verse 5, and it says, "As some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he says, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what signs will there be when these things shall come to pass?" And so, you know, I want to just pause there for a second. And when we look at what's going on in the world today, we look at the craziness of life. We look, you know, and we say, who ever thought that Donald Trump would be re-elected? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Apart from those of us who read the Bible and understand prophecy and know that these things are going to happen. When we look at how people are treating each other, we look at wars, people are arguing, you know, and then suddenly you're supplying missiles. We say we shouldn't supply arms. And now they're saying this week, oh, US and UK missiles have been used in Ukraine to go to Russia. And so it's continuing wars. All these things have been prophesied. People are not going to be kind to one another. We see that every day. People have lost respect for each other. And then right here in the beginning of what I've read there in Luke 21, it spoke about the church, and it says this temple, the church, there won't be a stone left on top of each other. Does that cause you to worry? Do you think that, oh no, we're not going to have a church to worship in? I ask you a question. Who are the church? Is it the building, or is it us, the individuals? It's us, the individuals. So with all the craziness that you see going on, with all the signs of the end, I don't think you need to panic, because we are the ones that are the church. But as we read on, and it says, "But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you, and persecute you, and deliver you up to the synagogues, and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sakes. And it shall turn to you for a testimony." That bit, I just love that. It's such a short verse, and yet we could read through that chapter and we could kind of miss it, because it says it will turn to you for a testimony. And as Jaded Lee read from the Amplified Bible, it says this will be a time and an opportunity for you to testify about me. And so what I'd like to reflect on in the short time we have is that despite the times we're living in, we know we are living in the end times, the signs have told us that, despite all that's going on, what will you share? What will you testify of? Because this is your time and your opportunity to testify about me. And we heard that. We heard that in your testimony. We've seen it. We've heard it in the song, you know. We've heard it in the children's story. And I can be short with my sermon, because you shared more of in that story than, you know, of what I was going to say. So I'll only be repeating it twice, because I wanted to look at the story of Naaman and the little maid girl and what she shared. as we're told, is found in 2 Kings 5. And is everybody aware of the story of Naaman and the maid and the leprosy? Because I think you set the scene very well for that. So everybody is now aware. And so there was a couple of interesting points that I'd like to just to bring out. The maid, she was captured and she waited on Naaman's wife. Her part was really big in this story, but yet her name is not mentioned. And I found that very interesting. Because she may have just been a maid, she may have only been looking after Naaman's wife, but she had a great part. Because Naaman would not have been healed if she didn't speak up. There would be no story without her, but her name wasn't mentioned. And my mum, who's now passed, used to say, I don't need my name in lights, when sometimes people would want to try to honour her. And I think it's something we need, that it's a lesson for us to take, that we don't always need to be seen. But what needs to be seen is the effects of what we do.
Amen.
What we share with somebody. So what are you going to share? She shared her faith. She shared, I know somebody who can heal you. She said, you need to go. And she shared her faith. So her name didn't matter. But what mattered was her faith that she could share with her captor. So despite her situation, despite the fact that she didn't have all that freedom like we have, she still was able to share. So I ask, what about you and me today? How willing are we to share God's love and show it with others when we have such great freedoms? You know, as we look on, we realize that Naaman was a proud man because he was captain of the host. And he nearly missed his blessing because of his pride. I don't know about you, but I think that could happen to all of us, isn't it? We look and think, I can't do that. That's a little bit beneath me. But God says, I've got something more for you, and I want you to grab hold of it. So we have to be careful not to let pride get in our way. And the other lesson I think we got from Naaman as well is that in the end, he was able to humble himself. And sometimes that's the same for us. We can learn within our humility how to be obedient to God. We can learn to be obedient to God's plans, but we need to humble ourselves. You know, that little maid, she could not have been a witness if she hadn't had good home training.
Amen.
In Timothy it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. It's a text that stuck with me for a long time. And growing up in the Adventist church, and then even leaving, there's things that stick in your mind. It doesn't matter. Once you have an understanding, once you've been introduced to God, you can try and drown it out with whatever you want, but it's still there. And that little maid, her parents must have taught her so well, and they taught her about God's love, about faith. So then she was able, even in a situation of duress, to be able to go and share who God was. Would we be able to do that? Would you be able to do that? When you think about when Joseph was in captivity, when his brothers threw him in the pit, yeah, he still had love. He still allowed God to use him. Would we do that when we're under duress? You know, as we read on in Luke chapter 21, and I'm going to continue reading from verse 14. And it says, settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate about what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not be a hair of your head perish. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Settle it in your hearts. We're promised that if we follow God's instructions here in Luke, he says he will give us an answer. He will give us wisdom. He will help us to understand and be able to know what to say. So he says, settle in your hearts, be still, be at peace. Don't worry, don't stress. When I look at what you can share, I also think of Job's friends. When Job was afflicted, he was in a bad way. And his friends, when they first came to visit him, in the latter part of Job, they didn't quite go right. But I'm going to concentrate on the bit they did right. When Job was first afflicted, his three friends came together and they said, we need to come and we need to go and visit. And what did they do? It's recorded in Job chapter 2, but for time, I'll just share with you. They went and they sat with him. And they sat with him for 7 days. They sat with him in silence for 7 days. You know, sometimes our witness can be silent. We don't need big words. We actually need actions. You know, when the little boy with the basket and the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he got up, he took action. The little maid girl, she spoke up, she took action. Sometimes we can just sit in silence with people. I was reminded that someone who said to me when they were going for a time and I would sit with them and there was a time of illness and then bereavement, and they said, all I needed was for you to be here. You didn't have to say anything. You didn't have to do anything. All I needed was you sitting here. Because I sat with them, they would sleep whilst they were going through their challenges, and that's all they said to me. It was afterwards, and it made me think that sometimes, well, I know me particularly, I like to talk, and sometimes I can talk too much. But sometimes we just need to sit with people quietly and just listen. And the last account that I'd like to share with you today was definitely about actions. And he's found in Mark chapter 2. If you could turn with me there to Mark chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 1 to 5. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straight away, many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, verse 5, it's another one of those verses that you've heard the story. I grew up listening to this story, and it's only in the last few years that I actually, for me, what I find is the key is verse 5. And I think for years and years, I missed the point. And it says, when Jesus saw their faith. It wasn't the guy who was sick. It wasn't the paralytic. It was the 4 friends. He says, they brought him. And it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you. Do you all get that bit? Whose faith? So when we're in situations now, whose faith are we looking for? So who is relying on your faith to get over their situation? What will you share? Are you going to share fear or faith? I say, I'm going to say it again because I think this point is so key, and I've not heard it spoken about much. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Your sins are forgiven you." So we are called to stand for others. We are called to let our faith shine on behalf of other people. It makes me look at what I do in a whole different light. What is my witness? Who am I standing in the gap for? Because it's called about my faith. So if I don't have faith, how am I going to be a witness for anybody else? How is somebody going to get delivered if I don't have faith for myself? It's because of our faith we can get healed. So there's somebody that's needing healing, whether it's physically, whether it's mentally, whether it's spiritually, that is waiting for you to stand in the gap on their behalf, waiting for you to share your faith.
Amen.
You know, I can only speak about me, as somebody said, because they laughed and they said, GDPR and all of that, you shouldn't be speaking about other people unless you ask their permission. And I have this is my testimony of something that happened. I have a work colleague that I used to work with. We worked together for about 5 or 6 years at the same company. Then I'd left when my mum wasn't well, and I'd left to be with her and to look after her. And recently I came back into contact with him because I went to do a job at that company. And I said, "How are you?" He said, "Oh." He said, "It's so good to see you." He said, "You don't know how happy I am to see you." He said, "I miss you so much." I said, "What do you mean you miss me so much?" He said, "You don't know how you encouraged me when I was having my trouble with my son in school, and you would talk to me when my wife wasn't well." He said, "You encouraged me so much in those times." And I had no idea that that was the experience. And that's why I say, what are you sharing with others? And then a couple of weeks ago, they called me to go to that company to do another job. It was a Friday, and I wasn't going to work. And they said, "It's all right. It's not a long job. You'll be finished early." When I got there, I saw him, and he said, "Oh." He said, "I had to get this job done. I had to book someone." And I said, I hoped it'd be you coming." And I said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Come." I said, "You need a hug?" And I gave him a hug. And literally, I gave him a hug, and he started to cry. And then he said to me about how his wife had just been diagnosed with breast cancer. And it was really bad, and she has to now go for MRI and everything. And we sat there and we hugged, and I said, "We could pray about it." And it's not somebody who you would say, he never speaks about God. But I said, "Can I pray?" "Yes." I said, "Can I ask others to pray for you?" He said, "Yes." And we check in. But we don't know that maybe he's just relying on my faith to get him over. And I just, you know, so I'm going to ask you as well, in your own personal prayers, to remember Sammy, that's her name, and his name is Carl. Because we are called to stand in the gap, to share our faith. People are relying on us, on our faith, for healing, for deliverance, for an introduction to God. You know, we are living in crazy times. There's no doubt about it. The church is under attack. Religious institutions are under attack. Because the devil knows that whilst people are searching, they may not be there yet, but if they're searching, they're going to find God. So he needs to attack us at every avenue, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Muslim, because people of faith are still searching, and God knows that he's going to find all his people before he comes back. So the devil is attacking everyone. So just within the Christian church, we're not the only ones. But we can see the signs. But we need to share our faith. We need to be a living testimony of God's love, his grace, and his mercy. We need to let our faith be seen in every arena of our life. Let them ask you why you're behaving this way. Let that be the introduction that you can give to somebody of who God is. So what will you share? What are others seeing? What will be your testimony? You know, one of my favorite texts is in Revelation 12:11. It says, and they overcome by their faith in the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And that's why a testimony is so important. That's why we need to share. I know everyone is not able to stand up in front of others and speak out. But your life, how you live, is a testimony. What people see you do, when they see you are different, when they see that you don't walk a certain way, you're not taking part in certain things, you are sharing your faith with others. I can give you another example. Where I work now, I was called to settle on an argument. And I came into the nursery and they had the guys who were moving the plants and working in the nursery. And one of the managers said, come, quick, Percy, come. I said, what's the matter? He said, I need to settle an argument. I said, what's this argument? Well, we're arguing about the Sabbath. They said, no, it can't be. It's only the Jews go to church on a Saturday. So you can't, and you're not a Jew. And they said, why is it that you're not coming to work? And I had to go and explain to them about Sabbath. Explain sunset to sunset. Explain that this is where it is in the Bible. He explained, and I asked them, because some of them are Orthodox Christians, and you explain, and I said, well, what about Easter? Do you believe in Easter Sunday? Yes. Do you believe in Good Friday? Yes. I said, so what did it say? He rested on the seventh day. I said, and that's the day that we worship. I wasn't even there. I wasn't in the room, but they're having an argument about what they considered my Sabbath. So this is the thing. If we are witnesses of God's love, if we are walking a life that's in tune with Him, people are going to ask us the questions. They're going to say, who are you? And what's going on? You know, as we look in Luke 21 and 28, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version, it says, now when these things begin to occur, stand tall, lift up your heads, enjoy, because suffering ends as your redemption is drawing near. So there's a lot of problems going on around us. There's signs of the times. But it says, stand tall, lift up your head. So we're reminded that don't panic. It's that simple. Don't panic. There's a glorious day coming. So all we need to do is we need to share. And my encouragement for you today, like the four friends who took the paralytic and who pulled the roof up and lowered him down, share your faith with others. No matter where you are, no matter where you go, let it be your faith that you share and not your fear. Thank you.